say, but I want to say that cello is like garlic on a pizza. You know, worship without a cello is good. Pizza without garlic is okay, but with garlic it's better. That's why I never ever have garlic on a Saturday evening, because I don't want to intoxicate you guys or anything like that. But that just does add something special. This is our first family service, even though we are missing the youth. It's out weekend. It's a Jock, can you come my Bible look bring us a belief? And everything that's on it. Yes, yes. It's great to have all of you guys here on this Sunday morning here in church. It's really great. I think it's good. We started the Afrikaans and the English services last year, and I still believe it's the right thing we're doing. But this year, once a month, the first Sunday of each new month, we're going to have communion together. And then obviously, we're just going to have the one church service where everyone comes together. And I just feel it's going to grow a lot, and it's going to be really a blessing. In 1 month's time, the 3rd of March, Pastor Ross van Niekerk will be here from Tygerberg, Shofar in South Africa. He will be preaching to us, ministering to us, and I'm really looking forward to that. So please make a little cross in your diary and see that you can make it that Sunday. And I think the thing this morning on my heart, the thing that is just standing out so much, the thing that I just can't deny, like, it's hot. All of us know it's hot for the past 5 or 6 or 10 weeks. But the one thing that is just so clear this morning is that God wants to speak to us about His glory. You know, and I'll share a little bit more about that later on. I think it started about 8 months or so ago when I read a book. And then this topic started to, thanks Leanne, this topic started to be in my heart and in my spirit. Now, the funny thing is, you know, sometimes when you have something on your heart, something that you feel and know you need to minister on, then you just start to seeing it everywhere. Just one or two of our friends in church, our friend Briar Buddha there at the back, he wrote an email to the everyone that will be part of the youth team. And, you know, he said, and I'm quoting you, Paul, with respect, he said, "May God be glorified through the youth this year as never before." Okay, awesome. Prisca later just replied, and she said, "Awesome to know that we have a lot of potential within our midst. To God be the glory." I read the shofar, Swakop Munt, of whom we inherited a few sheepies here this morning. Carol posted there on their Facebook, and she posted, I think, Psalm 63, verse 3 to 4, and she said, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I don't know who wrote on the blackboard there in the foyer, that person you heard from the Lord. Who was that? One of the ladies? That person is dead now. But someone wrote something there also about the glory of God. And then obviously on Friday when I received the songs for the Sunday from Saskia, I replied and said, "Awesome song selection," because I don't do it. And then she said it wasn't herself, it was Gustav. And I think it was so appropriate, the things we sang this morning. So I am so convinced, I can sense it and feel it so much in my heart and spirit, that this is something that the Lord wants us to just to stop a little bit about. I'm not going to, in my opinion, preach a deep sermon or something. You know, sometimes God say we should do something. And then in a sense, I want to say full stop. God said it. It's enough. Okay? It's almost like God loves a cheerful giver. We don't have to preach on it. Just be a cheerful giver. It's not rocket science. If you aren't that yet, get praying and become that. And it's something about us as a church. This morning, I counted, I think there were 17 or 18 people standing at intercession outside. And I just thought in my heart, all the glory to God. You know, it was so great. The past few days, or last week when we fasted and we prayed, intercession the last week, every time I just want to say all the glory to God. Everything that's happening, everything, even it's just small steps of progress going forward. I just want to say, God, I just want to glorify you. our small group coming together last night, not last night, Wednesday, and there's almost not enough chairs for everyone to sit on. I just want to say all the glory to God. Because I know sometimes certain things, you know, you can switch on your car, switch on the light. Some things we can do and something happen. But sometimes many things happen and we just know it's God moving. It's God doing something. I had the privilege of having a lot of church meetings this week, meeting some of you, meeting some ministries, coming together for certain things, you know, and I can honestly tell you, all of them, it was fun. None of them I went to and I thought like, oh, now I have to have coffee with someone, or now I have to go and do this, or now I have to wake up early for this meeting. Everywhere I went, I just sense in your hearts, not in mine only, but in your, I sense joy and excitement and something stirring, you know. And I just want to say it, friends, come December, look back. And I tell you, we're just going to want to be on our knees and glorify God for what He's doing in our midst, in our church. So another thing that I think we've seen so strongly, someone said it in an email to me the other day, I just love this unity thing, okay? And I can say that as well. You know, we're coming together from many places, and I can sense how we are growing in unity. That means in agreement, that we are like-minded, that we are focusing on the same things. You know, I've said it many times to the elders, to Reinald and to Arons. You know, I said we must protect this. We must pray that God will guard this because the devil doesn't like it. Okay, I can say in I don't know how long they've been the elders now, but the Lord hear me. We hadn't had one fight or serious disagreement about anything. Okay, it's just we have the same spirit. You know, I'm not talking about people saying now is this blue or dark blue or navy or pretty things. I'm talking about big things, serious things. So what I want to share on, and I hope all of you will have the privilege to preach one day, you know, but I remember starting off to preach and I thought like, how will I get to full 30 minutes with information? How will I be able to have enough to say for 30 minutes? And then Saturday last night, I actually saw I have a problem. I've got 14 scriptures, and then I thought if I talk for 4 minutes on each scripture, it's almost an hour. So I have to make a plan, and I have to either talk very fast, okay, or I have to cut one or two. But the thing is just, when we start to talk about the glory of God, or we live for His glory, okay, it's impossible to cover it in one morning, in one day, maybe in a few sermons even. It's such a big thing that we see from Genesis up to Revelation, okay? Because we can almost end there and just say, we must live for the glory for God, okay? It's not about us. It's all for the glory of God. And this is something that I'm experiencing in our church as certain things are shifting, certain things are happening. I just want to put it there, and I want to share it with you, okay? That we always keep this thing right here in front of our eyes. That we never ever start to say, yes, but I can preach good, or this person can do the offering very well, or that person does the announcements very well, or this or that. That we will always work, be married, live from a place. Who's excited about marriage? Woo! Spot on. Okay, then I guess I'm going to hit the bullseye today maybe. But let's not jump the gun. I want to read two scriptures to you to start off with, and that is to glorify God is a command. Okay? Psalm 22:23, it says, "You fear the Lord, praise Him, all you offspring of Jacob, glorify Him, and stand in awe of Him, all you offspring of Israel." And the second scripture on there, the second one, to glorify God is due to Him. 1 Chronicles 16:29. "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness." And as I just said this morning, I'm just amazed about the person choosing the songs, people putting it in their emails, someone writing it there in the foyer, our sister Carol in Swakopmund putting it on Facebook. And I said, Carol, that's not fair. You're stealing now from my sermon. Or is it now the same Spirit speaking to us? It's exciting. I love it when I see that. Now, the reason is, there's many reasons that I can give you. We can spend a lot of time this morning on reading through scriptures and things to see why we should glorify God. And obviously, there's many aspects of this topic that I'm just not going to be able to minister on this morning. But just a few things this morning. And I've mentioned once or twice before, especially on Sundays, you know, then it's quite early morning, it's quite quiet in Windhoek. And have you noticed, I think the birds, when they sing early morning, I think they're singing because they're glorifying God. And if you wake up any given morning, you will see they always do it. They never don't do it, okay? Sometimes we battle to do it, but the birds always do it. That's just something about creation. You know, Scripture says the whole of the universe gives glory to God, okay? Mercy and truth, deliverance, splendor, God's holiness, His faithfulness, grace. There's so many things that we can put down this morning and say, let's talk about this. Let's talk about how we can glorify God or praise His name because of His grace. Okay? But I'm not going to go into that. Usually, as when I preach, you know, I do a bit of research and I study, and I usually stumble upon one of my favorite pastors, Pastor John Piper. I just hope he will preach for many, many more years. He's already written, I think, 60 or 70 books. It's just amazing. And he's just got such a wealth of sermons and theology and truth that he has blessed his church with. And I just love that man, and I really honor him. But allow me to read something from that he said, because obviously we need to say to each other this morning, now what is God's glory? Or what is it when we say, let God be glorified? Or when we sing about this, what is it? Is it when we lift our hands? Is it when we speak? Is it when we dance? Is it when we maybe fast? What is this thing about glorifying God? I just want to read a little bit to you. Isaiah 6 verse 3. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Now, as I said, I think his exegesis are amazingly good. And I just want to read to you a little bit of interpretation he gave on this topic. He said, it's not I, it's him, he said, the glory of God is the manifestation of holiness. God's holiness is the incomparable perfection and greatness of His divine nature. His glory is the display of that holiness. His glory is the open revelation of the secret of His holiness. In Leviticus 10 verse 3, God says, I will be shown to be holy among those who are near me, and before all the people, I will glorify God. When God shows Himself to be holy, what we see is His glory, the beauty of His holiness. The holiness of God is the concealed glory. The glory of God is the revealed holiness. I can email this to you. I think it's very deep and very difficult to repeat, but I believe there's a lot of sense in it. There's a correlation between God's glory and God's holiness. Okay? There's something that's taking hands there. There's something that when God's put forth the one feet, the other one comes as well. Okay? There's something beautiful, okay, about this. So he said his effort at the definition will be, the glory of God is the infinite beauty and the greatness of His manifold perfections. Okay? So that means there's so many reasons, there's so many things why we can say God is perfect, God is precious, God is holy, God is full of grace, He's full of love, He's a Father, Jesus died on the cross. There's so many things that we can put forward. So all these things combined, and His holiness, that will start to reveal part of His glory, okay? We can't see full on God's glory, but I can tell you, we've got this wonderful thing that we know we are living here, and as children of God, children in Christ, that when Jesus comes back one day, when seasons start to change, okay, we will all be perfected, we will all be glorified, and we will see God's glory, okay? And I don't think we've got any clue what that will be like, except that we can see from Scripture, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be marvelous. It's like Moses and the burning bush, okay? God was there in all his attributes, his glory, his holiness. And that's why when God called Moses and Moses came close, he said, listen, Moses, I love you. I want to speak to you. So just whoa there. Take off your sandals. This is holy ground. Don't come too close. It can hurt you, okay? Because he wasn't in a state yet to see God's glory, okay? And neither are we. We won't be able to handle it yet. Now, this is just the intro. Now, last year, I was reading that book. It's called The Biblical Foundation for Manhood and Womanhood. Very good book about just giving something, because we are all made in God's image, but yes, we are male and we are female. Okay, awesome book, lots of truth in it. But then one chapter was about my favorite pastor, John Piper, again. And he was writing there about marriage lived for the glory of God. Marriage lived for the glory of God. And I just read halfway through that chapter. I haven't even yet finished that book. You know, pastors are very busy people. It's difficult to finish a book sometimes. But nevertheless, you know, it was one of those books, it was one of those things that just started to influence me. It just started to influence my theology. It started to influence the way I live. And I can just say in such a small way, I would want to say and say and be honest with you and say, I wish it can be a lot bigger, okay? Because the thing is, he's writing on this thing from the perspective that if you know who God is, okay, it will help your marriage a lot. And we will talk a little bit about that this morning. It's really important, or God is really important, okay? But marriage isn't that important in terms of God's glory, in terms of things created. So I'm not saying this morning marriage is not important. You shouldn't read about it, preach about it, study it or anything. That's important, okay? It's a covenant relationship. And those of you who know me well will know it's quite close to my heart. But to serve God is much more important. You can't even try and compare the two to each other. Now, I'll share something with you. I remember, and I know there's some people that are hopefully soon to get married, and I prophesy over the rest that you will get married very soon. Those of you who haven't found that special husband or that man or lady. I remember maybe 2 or 3 months before me and Maritza got married, you know, as married people, we were excited. She's doing all the arrangements and stuff, and I'm just checking the budget and those type of things. And then I remember one day we were talking, and she said, oh, I just really hope the Lord doesn't come back before we get married. She just really, really wants to get married. Okay, maybe it's got something to do with me, I don't know. But anyway, it was, and then I said to her, well, I totally agree with you. I really don't want to miss this special day, because obviously it will be awesome when the Lord come back, but I also would like to just get married and be married before he comes back. So I really hope for you guys, you also get married. But I don't want to make it cheap or anything. The fact of the matter is, we've got all that heart. It's something we look forward to. But we can't allow ourselves that marriage, your job, your finances, your car, your spouse, your children, whatever it is, become too big in your life in terms of God. Because we are made to give glory to God. No other reason. That's the only reason. There's many other things, yes. God said in Scripture, we should multiply and fill the earth. And those things aren't not, I'm not saying that's not true, okay? But in comparison, we are called to glorify God. So when we ask questions like, why marriage? Why is there marriage? Why does it exist? How do we live in our marriages? Why does anything exist? Why do you and I exist? Why do the sun, the moon, and the stars exist? The answer to all of that is, to bring glory to God, to bring glory to his name. Jesus, many times we say, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, which is true, but Jesus also died on the cross out of obedience to glorify God, okay? Not that, so it's not just we're claiming this thing just for ourselves. Jesus also died on the cross. I mean, and it wasn't the easy thing. He prayed about it and he was sweating blood, okay? He was scared. None of us has gone through that thing. And he said that the Father may be glorified. How awesome is that? What an example is that to all of us? So, in a sense, I want to say this morning, it's something easy in terms of theology for me. We live to glorify God, but it's got massive implications. Okay? So the way we live, the way we raise our kids, the way we work, everything should give glory to God. So when we, whatever we do, if you aren't sure whether you should do it or not, you can just ask the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit or Father, will this bring glory to your name? The way I talk, the way I, and I missed the mark many times. Praise God for His grace for that. Okay. But it's something to challenge us. And I just feel there's so many things this morning pointing right at this, that we should take note of this. Okay? Because people will see it in our lives, that if we as a church or individuals or small groups or ministries, the way we live or act, if it's for the glory of God, that was what Reinhold was preaching 2 weeks ago about, that light shining. I believe it will be such a sharp light that people can't miss it. People will notice it. Psalm 145, verse 3. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. We can't put God in a box. There's so many scientists sometimes trying to explain God away, to give reasons why He couldn't have created, or why things can't be true the way it's stated in Scripture. But they will never succeed. God is way too big. God has created us. The Creator are much bigger than the things He created. In Isaiah 43, verse 6 and 7, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Okay? God makes it very clear that He created, that He formed, and why did He do it? He did it for His glory. Okay? Everything we do must be for His glory. And if you walk out here this morning, you must say, the pastor said it 20 times. And the reason why I'm going to say it 20 or 30 times is for me and for you to take it home and to ask the Lord also, Lord, where do I still miss the mark? I remember working with a lady one day, and she had a tough time with the job and wasn't always that happy, and things weren't that easy. And then she told me one day, she asked her father about the way what she should do. And her father was a wise man. He told her, just do it as unto the Lord. And she smiled and she said, that's what I'm going to try to do. How great is that? How many times we moan and we complain about things. But let's do things as unto the Lord. In Romans 11, verse 36, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. In Colossians 1, verse 16, Paul makes it even more clearer. For by Him all things were created in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. Okay? It was created through Him, that means He created it, and for Him. Now that for Him, it doesn't mean God created it because He needed friends or He needed someone to make Him feel good or anything. He created it for His splendor, for His glory. Okay? That's why if you start to research scriptures on this topic, especially in the Psalms, it's endless. It's like you will never be able to get all of them. There are so much of it. God does not need human hands. In Acts 17, verse 24 and 5, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by a man, nor is He served by human hands as though He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. We need to let that sink in a little bit. God doesn't need our hands. But as I've said many times, what I love about the Father is that He made us and then He chooses us. He creates us and then He chooses us to work with Him. That purpose that I talked about last week, that the church have, we are the church. He chose us. He could have chosen maybe more perfect angels or something to do the job on the earth. But he chose us. And he said, I'm going to be partners with you. I'm going to make you co-workers of this job that I want to give to you. And every one of us, I can say this morning, I'm so glad there's so many people that's serving in church. You know, we've got about 1.25% of permanent people working for the church. I'm the one, and Liesl are doing the quarter or the third. I'm not sure how much, but she's trying her best with 2 other jobs to help me, and that's really a blessing. So friends, God made everything. He is everything. He is big, and we are small. This leads to a very simple conclusion. So simple and yet so far-reaching. If we want to see marriage have the place in the world and in the church that it's supposed to have, that is, if we want marriage to glorify the truth and the worth and the beauty and the greatness of God, we must teach and preach less about marriage and more about God. Okay? So once again, I don't say we shouldn't talk about it, but it's important. And I think we can make a generalization here. That goes for anything else. It goes for anything else. If we want to get things right, we should see what our motivation should be. We should see what our role in this project is. Okay? It's to give glory to God. Now, as I said, this might be simple, and it's hot. It's Sunday morning. You probably had a long week, and I can see 1 or 2 people are you know, we are all tired and those type of things. But I want to say to you, for me, this is big. This is big, that we can glorify God. And I tell you, in terms of raising kids or being married some days, sometimes I'll be the first one to put out my hand and say, I missed the mark. I don't get it right. Now, I know God's grace will fill those gaps. I don't have to stress about it. But we can work through to a place of more excellence. Okay? I want to have a legacy of raising kids and being married and being a pastor and just being God's child, where people can see what I do for the glory of God. So the challenge is for you, for all of us, to do the same. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. I think I've made the point by now. Do all for the glory of God. Yeah? So that means just like have that excellence, just have that reflection of God's glory in what we do. Now just to go to something in Romans, is if you want to read a little bit about God's glory and you want to study a little bit about this, I think in Genesis, in the book of Psalms, and then definitely in the book of Romans, where Paul writes to the church in Rome, you will be able to find quite a lot on the glory of God. In fact, there's almost not a chapter in the book of Romans where you won't find something about the glory of God. And I just want to touch this morning on 1 or 2 of those things. In Romans 1, and it's scriptures I think that all of you know quite well. First, Paul addresses the condition of the nations outside Israel in Romans 1, verse 21. And he says, For although they knew God, they did not honor, and I've put in there the word, the other translation you can get, him as God, or give thanks to him. How did they not glorify him? And then verse 23 gives us the answer. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images. Carved images, any images, you know. And many times we think, when we think of the word, when I think of the word pagans, you think like in times of Asterix and Obelix or those guys, where they had like carved images on a wooden pole or those type of things. But today, the age we live in, what's the biggest carved image? It's when we look in the mirror. Government, nations, almost want to say generations. When we look in the mirror, there's the image. There's the thing that is stealing the glory from God. Because how many times we will read or see or watch movies, and I've said it once before, but I'll never forget it or never watch that movie again. It was, I can't even remember the name of the movie, but I remember there was guys, and then some guys were in jail. And then I remember the one police officer, he said, listen, they are so secure here in jail, not even God will be able to get him out of here. And I thought, like, switch off this nonsense. This is bad. Okay. And this is so not giving glory to God. But if your eyes are open, if you read all the gossip, all this stuff, you will see. It's the truth. Okay, so something needs to change. And there, even if Paul is writing here in Romans 2, when he's writing to the Jews, he says, "For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." So he also says to them, listen, the way you live is also not good enough. Even the Gentiles blasphemes God's name because of you guys. And then here in Romans 3 verse 23, we very clearly see the problem that all of us were facing. I believe not all of us are facing anymore, but that a big part of society are still facing. And that is in Romans 3 verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We literally lack it. Now, if we could say that wasn't the case, then we would, it's almost the same like saying there's the Ten Commandments and I could keep them perfectly. Then I could be justified because I'm, in a sense, perfect. But we know the Ten Commandments were actually just condemning us and just saying to us, listen, you're never going to make it. And here in the New Testament, we see here, we fall short of God's glory. We don't have it, okay? But God always have a plan for us. And this is the scripture that Prisca brought us this morning, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And I believe this is such a fundamental, important scripture for us for this day. We know, because of this problem, Jesus died on the cross. We were bought with a price. Okay, we are not we aren't helpless. We were bought. Okay, that means we belong to God. That means our bodies, which are maybe one of the things, and it's been never different. Okay, it's the same with what I said about carved images. Go and read about Pharaoh. Pharaoh thought he's the man. He thought definitely when Moses came to him every time, listen, this little stupid guy, who are you and your God? Until he saw the manifest power of God. And every time when Moses came, he said, this will happen to your kingdom. And then it happened. Okay? But our bodies must give glory to God. And this is probably one of the biggest things that people who isn't in Christ get wrong, where we get defiled. Okay? We were bought with a price. Even us as the church, we should live with a testimony that people will see the way we have our relationships, everything, okay, that God can be glorified through that. It's so important because at this stage where we live, even in Namibia, there's not a revelation of God. There's not a revelation of God out there. People don't fear God. People don't know about God, okay? People don't care about God and His glory. It's the me, myself, and I thing, okay? And that's terrible. That's why, as we were singing here this morning, I felt, and I trust that many of you felt the same, I just felt like there's so many things. I just want to glorify God. I just want to give praise to Him. He's holy. He's awesome. There's a lot more scriptures that I have here this morning. And as I said, I have to skip a few. Otherwise, I'm not going to get through all that I want to say. But maybe I should start to end off with, you can go and read Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 5, and you will see, as Paul are talking about the interaction between strong and weak Christians, he said that we should work together, basically. And then he says, for the glory of God. When he says how we should welcome people in church, he said that Christ and God can be glorified. Everything, this theme is running all the way through Scripture. Okay, from the, as I said, the tabernacle of David, the temple of Solomon, everywhere we saw something about God's holiness, God's glory. Okay, let me just read you from Romans 15, verse 7, and that will be my last scripture. Then in verse 7, Paul gives Christ as the pattern for building his church. He says, therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. So basically, Christ does everything he does. to glorify the Father, including welcoming you and me into his family in building his church for the glory of God. That's the pattern that we see. So that is what I want to say to us as Shofar Windhoek also this morning. Let that be a standard. Let that be a pattern for us, for whatever we do, that we will be able to see somewhere in that the glory of God. And I think it's very humbling to us. We are intellectual people, we are skilled, we've got a lot of power in a sense, okay? But we're just the means to an end in a sense. We are never the biggest thing in it. God is always. Never can we say, God need me. I had a person I worked for a few years ago, and he was just a very practical man, and he always said, I think he once made a mistake, I wasn't there, when someone left the job and you know, had to move to other place. He said, like, you know, someone that works for him is like when you have a bucket full of water and your hand is in it, and you take your hand out, just the gap just closes, okay? Someone just replaces you. You're not that special, okay? So that's a very harsh thing to say, especially if it's a lady working for you. Those of you who are employers, never say that to someone, please. Or if you do say it, say you're not a Christian or you're Catholic or something. That's maybe easier. But friends, we are saved for the glory of God. I didn't want to make too much jokes, but I once heard Pastor Fred, and Ronald, switch off the recording, he once said, if someone does do this or that to one of his kids, he will just not become not Christian for a while and go back to the time of the dark ages where you can buy or pay money and repent, and then he will just kill that person, and then he will repent and turn Christian again. But as I say, it's not doctrine. Don't quote me on that. But friends, the point I want to make this morning, and as I said, it's just so amazing when I feel something on my heart, and we sing it, and every email has it in, it stands in the foyer, and as I said, I don't choose the songs, Caroline Swaku posts it, okay? Then I think it's, in a sense, it's not that deep revelation. I'm not telling you something you probably don't know, but I believe it's something in season. It's something for now, it's something for today, okay? It's something we should take home for, and it's something we should ask the Lord, Lord, where do I stand with this? I want to end off the last scripture. Is the last scripture also in the book of Romans. Romans 16, verse 27. To the only wise God, glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, is that the cry of your heart? Do you love the glory of God? Okay, so it's something we can aspire to. It's something that we can think, and it's something where we can do a bit of fine-tuning. Next time that you are in a circumstances or something, so many times I can caught myself thinking something, saying something, speaking something, and then I have to repent and say, Lord, I know what I just did now. It doesn't bring glory to your name. It doesn't glorify you. I hope no one even heard or saw this. Please forgive me for what I just thought or something like that. God is calling for your attention and your admiration every day. In Psalm 19, verse 1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. In Isaiah 6, verse 3, it says, the whole earth is full of his glory. Can we close our eyes this morning? Lord Jesus, we just want to come to you as a church this morning, Lord. And as we were worshiping you this morning and praising you, Father, we know that you are a holy God. And your word says, because you are holy, we should be holy too, Lord God. We want to walk in those big footsteps, Lord God. Lord, thank you that you bought us with a price. Father, that we belong to you. And Father, that our lives, Lord, and our flesh, our bodies, Lord God, that it can be a temple of the Holy Spirit. That each of us can represent something of your glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can live lives, Lord, where we can maybe go through suffering many days, Lord, where we can think sometimes, why have the life given me such a hard cards? Why does this happen to my family or to my father, my mother, my brother, my sister, or even to me? Lord, why is life so unfair, Lord? And Lord, why do I need to get hurt so much? Or Why do I feel so broken? Why do I don't feel so good enough? Father, but thank you, Lord, that as we know, we are going and working through these things, Lord God, that as that word we have, Lord, that we can come and cast off those crowns this morning. Father, that you pick us up, that you cleanse us, that you say to us that you are beautiful, that you say and look us in the eyes, Lord, and that you come and that you say that we are your children, that we are special, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High, glorious Creator of this world, that we belong to you. Father, I pray that we as a church group, as Shofar, Lord God, that we can glorify your name. Father, it's something that sounds so easy, but I think we fail so many times. I do. But Holy Spirit, come into our lives, come into this ministry, just more and more. We just open up and we stand on those words that we had, that the floodgates are opening. Father, and that as those floodgates are opening, Lord, that your glory will shine, Lord God, that it will be a shining light, that we will arise and shine, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for this, Lord God, and Father, we stand here this morning and just in admiration of you, of your splendor, of making the sun shine, of making the moon come up every night, Lord. Everything is in your hands, Lord. And I pray, Father, that our marriages, our relationships, the way we raise our kids, the way we have small group, the way we have intercession, the way we drive, the way we talk, the way we teach, oh Lord, that it can bring glory to your name, that people can look at it, that I can see it, and that I can say, but I want to be like that as well. Father, thank you that we can come to you on our knees, Lord God, and that you will always accept us, Lord, that we are children, Lord, in Jesus' name. This morning, I'm going to do the altar call a little bit differently. I'm going to ask all of you to stand, and the worship team is going to lead us in a song, one of the songs we have sang before. And I just want all of you, as we are ending off, as we are going to worship this morning, to speak to God about this thing. Ask God about your life. Ask God about His glory. Ask Him about what you are doing. So this morning, I want especially this last worship song be a place where you worship God, but also where you talk to God. Ask Him or tell Him anything, and I'm sure He will respond to you this morning. In Jesus' name.
Glorify, glorify, Presence, Lord, and you can just glorify your name. Father, thank you that we will not exchange our own glory for the glory that is actually to be given to you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here and that you work in our hearts and you give us such a great conviction to follow you, to be obedient to you. And I just believe the Holy Spirit says that there's a person here, you're on a crossroad in your life for a specific decision that you need to make and you don't know whether to go left or right. And I really want to pray with you and have the boldness to come forward, and we would like to pray with you so that you can hear from God and just have that peace of mind which side you need to choose. And I also believe there's a person here that feels as if they're entangled in a web or like in a net, and it doesn't feel as if you can break out. It's actually just a spiritual bondage that is upon you and that God wants to break today. And I also want you to come forward and so we can pray for you, let that break so that you can also experience that fullness, that greater presence of God. And I also believe that there's a few people here that might struggle, that sometimes when we speak about the glory of God or the goodness of God, that you struggle to connect or see that side. I also ask that you would come forward and that we can pray for you as well. And then if you don't, or if you've walked with God and you've continued on, and you have maybe backslidden, or you have maybe felt that you have exchanged the glory that you owe to God for something in the world, something in life, then I just quickly want you to raise your hand if you want to make that recommitment to God. If you feel that you have backslidden, or if you feel that you have no longer that intimacy with God and that walk with God, that you have exchanged that glory that Carlos talked about for something of the world, I just quickly want you to raise your hand. If there's anyone like that. Or if there's anyone that has never ever made that commitment. You've gone to church, you've lived your life religiously, prayed, read Bible, but you've never made that fully commitment where you gave over to God's will instead of your own will. And I also quickly want you to raise your hand just for that first commitment. If there's anyone like that and God is speaking to you, you'll quickly raise your hand. So just want the other three people, if you felt that was in your heart, especially a person feel entangled in that net, if you're on a crossroad for a decision in your life, or that you don't feel that you can connect with that intimacy with God, I just really want to pray for you in front. Church, you must have a blessed day, and glorify God. Amen.